the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Gary. Please. Amen. Well, I thought if nothing else, the title would get people's attention. Identifying the Antichrist. Well, good to be with you, and really look forward to this time, and particularly the topic that Pastor Gary has asked me to speak on. And we have been doing this in our church for this last year. I've two different times I've given some special attention to this theme and to this topic about last days. And I just want to say right at beginning today, and we're going to launch right on into the message because we want to preserve your time and be conscious of it. So if you want to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and let me lay a little foundation here that I'm coming at this as a pastor and so much appreciate your pastors and what they want to do in you. And I've been around long enough to know that you cannot build people's lives, nor can lives be built on speculation and the sensational. And there's a whole lot of that when it comes to the theme of Bible prophecy. And what I want to do as pastor and your pastor does is give you something that you can build your life on. And so tonight is we spend these three services with you, two on Sunday, and of course tonight is that I want to lay some things out for you and let you know where I'm coming from a pastor's point of view. And not that we're better than any of the other ministry gifts, but we got to live with you. And our heartbeat is as a shepherd, and a shepherd loves to see sheep grow and mature. And so we want to do that with you tonight. So to those of you who we may not have met, God bless you. Thank you for being here and look forward to meeting you and see a lot of familiar faces, and it's good to be home. Praise the Lord. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to read the whole chapter, so let's get right into this. And I entitled this in my church when I had ministered along these lines, Identifying the Antichrist. And just let me say right up front, it's not Henry Kissinger. And enough said there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is writing. Don't you love Bible names, Thessalonians? You don't hear that word too often, do you? Almost sounds like you go into a Greek restaurant and order food or something, you know. Give me two Thessalonians to go. Anyway, this is, of course, a real city in Greece at this time, and Thessaloniki is still a town in Greece. Paul is writing to the believers there. Now, brethren, concerning the coming, notice the theme, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our what? Our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by a letter, as if it come from us. Somebody had put out a letter and put Paul's name to it and said, the Lord has already come and you missed his coming. As though the day of Christ had already come. Let no one do what? Deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of the coming of the Lord, will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or all that is worshipped, so that he sets his God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Don't you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. That's this person up here. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, The Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy him with the brightness of his coming. And the coming of the lawless one is according, notice this, to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and notice this, lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And notice this, and for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but who had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you from salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you unto our gospel. We'll go ahead and stop right there, because those are the scriptures we're going to cover tonight. And just let me say, as we approach this, I realize that there are a lot of different views on the second coming and positions, pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation, premillennial, post-millennial, amillennial, and the list goes on. And I'm just here to tell you that my position is the right one. And I don't agree with it. Well, just wait till we get to heaven. Jesus will tell you I was right. But we'll have a little more to say about that. But I do want to say that everything that I teach is subjected to your pastor. And anything that he and I talk enough and I know him enough, our heart beats on the same wavelength. But if there's anything that I say that maybe he approaches it a different way or has another view, he's right and I'm wrong. In that sense, I'm here under his submission. But we're here not to talk about our disagreements, but to, and I don't know that he and I have any, but we want to look at the Word of God. And his heart is my heart is to get God's people ready for what is happening. And I think we're all in agreement. Things are happening. Things are happening. Fast and furious. Let's jump right into this. We're going to have some outline for you up here. You can take some notes. Let's go to verse 3. And I want to start out with tonight. What Paul is saying is that there's two things that are going to have to happen before Jesus appears, before his second coming. And he lays this out for us. And again, Paul is writing and he is straightening out that there's somewhat of anxiety and fear that the Lord has already come and that they have missed the rapture or the coming of the Lord. And so he is addressing them. Somebody has put out and published a letter and pinned his name to it and telling them it's already happened. And so he's coming and saying that the Lord, before he comes again, and he is coming again, there's going to be two things that will have to happen. And we want to zero in on that tonight. Now, it's not my purpose tonight to talk about post-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib. Let me just say that as we come to this, I'm going to lay out what I believe is from the book of Revelation, and problem or disagreement with some who may preach from the charts is that they say that in the book of Revelation, John's Revelation, that in chapter 4, because John is a type of the church and the church is raptured, or that John is raptured and taken up to the presence of God, that he is a type of the church, so therefore everything from Revelation chapter 4 on is all futuristic. And these things in Revelation, the book of Revelation, will not unfold until the church is raptured, and that we, the church, are going to escape tribulation. Do Do you believe in a pre-tribulation rapture? How do you define tribulation? There's only one place in the world, in all of church history, that believes the church will escape persecution and tribulation, and that's in North America, and that's only been in the last 100 years. That is called the dispensationalist theory. Why did God put all of the book of Revelation in for us if it's not to equip us? And I tell you what the Lord teaches us is not to escape everything, anything, but to conquer everything. Yes, sir. Amen. I do believe in a pre-wrath rapture. We'll talk more about this on Sundays in the two services. The wrath of God is revealed to us in the book of Revelation. Three keys of understanding the book of Revelation is understanding the three judgments: the seals, the trumpets, and the vials. The seals are mainly man-made, man-induced. Man has not been a good manager and steward of planet Earth. How many of you know God gave authority to Adam and to man? And so most of what happens in the opening of the seals is man-made. The trumpets are primarily demonic. That at the blowing of the trumpets, that there is a release of a lot of spirits that are coming and have already come, I believe, into the earth and released. And you can see that in studying the trumpets. They are pretty much demonic inspired. The vials or the bowls are at the hand of God. There is his wrath. And aren't you glad the Bible says that believers, we have not been reserved for God's wrath? Some years ago, a tornado come through Wichita Falls, Texas, and caused a great damage, and people were killed. And headline of the newspaper was, "The wrath of God visits Wichita Falls, Texas." No. All of God's wrath for right now has been poured out on his son when he was crucified. And the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, makes it very clear we as believers have not been reserved from God's wrath. So I believe in a pre-wrath rapture. I believe that that's what the Bible says. And again, we'll cover this more on Sunday. Let's go back to this. Let's look at verse 3. "Let no man deceive you." How many of you know the spirit of deception is running rampant? Don't let anybody deceive you. Jesus says in Matthew 24, he says, "This false Christ will come to deceive you." We'll close up tonight and show how you cannot be and will not be deceived. Let's look first of all at this first thing here that Paul says these are going to have to happen. Two things are going to have to happen before Jesus comes. Number one, he says there's going to come a great falling away. This word in the Greek, falling away, is the word apostasy. Apostasia in the Greek. And this is what it means. It means to stand away from something that you have believed before. And this is spiritually speaking. That there will come deception, there will come lukewarmness, there will come coldness in the church, there will come coldness to people who have once known the truth, embraced the truth, preached the truth, but it says that there will come a falling away, a stepping away from that truth and identifying with untruth. Can you think of any churches, denominations, etc., that once believed in the virgin birth, that the scriptures or the inspired word of God go right on down the line and being pulled away from that. And people will be drawn away. We're seeing it, and you'll see it even more so. This is not being a prophet of doom and gloom. This is just saying what Paul is saying here is that this great falling away is going to come to stand away from. Interesting that Jesus says in Luke, let me just give you 24, 13, and 21. Say those three numbers with me. 24, 13, and 21. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 all record Jesus' sermon, his Olivet Discourse, or his Sermon on the Mount of Olives. And it has to do with his coming and what is going to happen. And in those three chapters, Jesus says, let no man deceive you. He says, don't set yourself up for deception. But he makes this a statement that we really need to look at. Jesus does in those three scriptures, in those three chapters. He says, because iniquity shall abound. Everybody say iniquity. Not sin, not transgressions, but because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. That's apostasy. Iniquity is not committed. Iniquity is what is carried and opened up to. Iniquity gives sins and transgressions its power. How many of you know Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, but he was bruised for our iniquities? Iniquities is what is carried in us. It's what can be passed on. It's what can be in the physical as well as in the spiritual that can be passed on. And Jesus says, because iniquity shall abound. This word lawlessness, this mystery of lawlessness, it's the same word in the Greek, iniquity. What was Satan's problem? What got him kicked out of heaven? You was perfect, O Lucifer, son of the morning, until what? What? Iniquity was found in you. Not sin, not transgressions, but iniquity. You can put in there pride or lawlessness. What did he say? I'll be like the Most High. I will exalt myself above the throne of God. And Jesus says, I saw him fall like lightning from heaven. Good news and bad news. Good news is he fell. Bad news is he fell here. Everybody tracking with me here? Let's go to this next one now. Apostasy must happen, will happen. Let's look at this here in verse 4. In last part of verse 3, and says, and the man of sin, number 2, the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or is it worshipped. What did Satan, what did Lucifer, before he became Satan, what did Lucifer wanted? He wanted the worship. He got tired of leading worship and wanted to be worship and said, I will be like the Most High. And this, and I want us to look at this real quickly, what is going to happen. Let me make a statement and then I'm going to qualify. Pastor Terry, do you believe the Antichrist is a man, a system, or a spirit? Yes. All three. How many of you know the Antichrist spirit is already here and has been here? Antichrist, anti-anointing. How many of you know Christ is not Jesus' last name? Christ is his designated, the anointed one. Jesus is the anointed 1, the Antichrist comes. That's one reason that the enemy wants to stop us, neutralize you through an anti-anointing, through an Antichrist spirit. Why the Bible says, don't love the world or the things in the world. Why? Because there's a draining off of the anointing. Christians, little anointed ones. The anointed one and his anointing, that's what Jesus Christ means. So here we see this spirit. And notice that it's Paul uses the terminology here, calls him the son of perdition. Let's look at that real quick. Evil. The son of evil. Perditia is the Latin term for perdition, and it literally means ruin or destruction. I want you to get the picture here of what Paul is saying. And I'll back this up, that I believe the Antichrist is not only a system, it's a spirit. The system empowers Babylon, the Babylonian spirit that's in the world. It empowers not only the spirit, but he will empower a coming person. It's a system, it's a spirit, and it will finally manifest into the form of a person, a man called the son of perdition. Literally, when you study this out, he is the incarnation of the devil. Will be. The incarnation of the devil. Just as Jesus Christ was the incarnation of the one true and living God. He was God in the flesh. There is coming a spirit, a man, a person known as the Antichrist, the beast. Several different terminologies, but he will be manifested in the flesh. He will literally be, as Jesus was God on earth, he'll be the devil on earth. And Paul says, Jesus will not come until he be revealed. I think it's important that we see that. The only place that you will hear that the church will be raptured before tribulation is in North America, and that's just been in the last 100 years. Now, I have no problem if I'm wrong. I'd like nothing better than to avoid tribulation. But again, how do you define tribulation? The Bible does say in the book of Revelation, it talks about the tribulation, the great one. And it is coming. And I know the 7-year period, and you know the church is going to be raptured. That's the next thing that's on God's calendar. And then the Antichrist will be revealed. And then the first 3.5 years is going to be relatively mild. But in the middle of that 7-year period, Antichrist will break his covenant with Israel. And then things are really, really going to get bad. And the last 3.5 years are going to be, it's going to be terrible. The Jews are going to realize that they made a mistake in signing the covenant with this Antichrist. And then at the end of the 7-year period, Jesus will come back with 10,000s times 10,000s of his saints, and he will destroy the Antichrist. But there's going to be a 7-year hiatus. Let me tell you something about prophecy that we need to know. Be careful about using calendars. How many of you know there's no two calendars that agree? It's interesting that a lot of the chart preachers, and listen, I have no brief against any of the chart preachers. They're sincere. Most of them, all of them, far as I know, are very sincere. But that's what got me is to looking and how it comes down. Is God, if he is using a calendar, is he going to use a pagan calendar that we use? Or is he going to use the Jewish calendar? What about the Mayan calendar? Were you waiting in anticipation in December 12th of 2012 or whenever that date was on the Mayan calendar? They wouldn't. And the pagan calendar, the Gregorian calendar that we use is a solar calendar. It's dedicated to pagan gods. Should we throw the calendar out? No, absolutely not. Sunday, you worship the sun god. Monday, you worship the moon god. It's Roman gods, okay? I have a doubt that God's going to use that calendar. He's going to use his own calendar, whatever it is. Everybody kind of staying with me on track here? Now let's come back to this, to this evil, this beast. He is revealed to us in Revelation chapter 13. And again, if you go by the charts, everything from Revelation 4 is all future, then you're going to miss something here. This is where I struggled as being a pastor, as why did God give us the whole book of Revelation and most of it is all future? I believe that he gave us this to show us. You see the saints in warfare. You see the saints locked up in warfare and all through the church age. And let me just say something to you, that in the judgments, the seals and the trumpet judgments, when they're released, God's people are down on earth calling on God and saying, God, intervene into this situation. And people are praying and they're praising. If the church is raptured at the beginning of Revelation 4, where do these come from? That's all through the book of Revelation. Let me just throw something else to you, something that I discovered about the book of Revelation. As you open it up, and John in chapter 4, is in chapter 5, tells us he's called up to the throne of God. Don't make the mistake of letting chapter and verses throw you off. I want to say this about prophecy while I'm thinking about it. Write this down. All prophecy is never given for speculation. Jesus made this very clear. Three times he stated, prophecy is given that once the event happens, you look back and say, God prophesied that. Let me give you an example. Isaiah 66, can a nation be born in a day? That was 600 years before Christ. When was that prophecy fulfilled? May of 1948. One day, the United Nations chartered the little tiny nation of Israel. It was born in one day. You look back 2,600 years. God prophesied it. How did we know it was going to happen? You can't put it on a chart and say it's going to happen in the future. When prophecy happens, then you can look back and say God prophesied it. Amen? So the speculation is out. I want to just lay that out there. Revelation chapter 13. Is the overlapping of the Antichrist and the church. Revelation 13:1, John says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea. I stood upon the sand of the sea. The sand of the sea nearly always, if not always in the Bible, speaks of people. And he says, I saw, or the sea speaks of people, the masses. He says, I saw this beast, this Antichrist. All what Paul says, it's the same person that Daniel saw. Daniel is the Old Testament apocalypse. Daniel and John saw the same thing, recorded hundreds of years apart. And John says in Revelation 13, and I stood up on the sands of the sea, and I saw coming out of the sea a beast. And he got his power, listen to this, from the dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan himself. And he goes about to deceive the whole world. And you see this overlapping. What is one of the things that he does? says he makes war with the woman and her child. Who's the woman? Israel. Who's her child? The church. Jesus, come from Israel. He's Jewish. Who is Satan targeting today? Christians and Jews. Christians and Jews. He has been trying to wipe out Jews from the beginning through Haman, through Hitler, Ahmadinejad from Iran. Will kill every Jew and do God a favor. Right on down. Why that little sliver of land? Why that little tiny population is it at the center of what is happening around the world? And why is it the wrath of everybody is and the hatred towards that little country? I forgot the exact number, but since they've been a nation since 1948, just a handful of Jews surrounded by 100 million Arabs and Muslims that want to drive them into the Mediterranean and kill them. Why have they received 250 condemnations from the United Nations? Has Israel always been right? No. No. But neither has the United States of America. But it doesn't have anything to do with that. It is the world opinion, watch it, as it erodes against Israel in the last days. This assignment from hell is against Jews, and it is against Christians, anti-Christ, against anything that is Christ. Revelation chapter 13. Let's look down in chapter 5. Verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians. Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining that he, speaking of the Antichrist, may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery, everybody say mystery. I want you to notice that. The word mystery, real quickly, means a progressive revelation or a progressive unfolding. That which was once hidden is now revealed. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. We want to look at that. We won't read it tonight, but write down in your notes 1 John 2:18 and 1 John 4:3. 1 John 2:18 and 1 John 4:3, that's up here on the notes, and these are just scriptures that tells us that the Antichrist spirit is already in the world working, and the system is working, and there will be a very soon, I believe, revealing of the Antichrist. Now, the person, the man. One of the things that I think will help us, this son of perdition is also called the son of evil, pure evil. I think one of the things that will help us is to see the difference between sin and evil. Real quick illustration. We're all sinners. How many of you know we're all capable of sinning? I mean, our flesh does a pretty good job. Just don't try to stop it. I mean, it's that's the nature. People can sin and do sin, and we do a pretty good job of it. But what is the difference between sin and evil? It has to do with motivation. That pure evil. Let me just give you a quick illustration. A child goes out on Halloween and collecting candy, doing what they do. Come back home, and there's an apple. And when he bites into that apple, he finds out that it's kind of rotten inside. May even be a worm in there. kind of gross. Anybody hungry? Get that picture. We'll take care of the hunger pains. But anyway, it's a bad apple. It had a small bruise on the outside, but once he bit into it, that apple was corrupted. It was bad. And so it's not good to be eaten. Now, that same kid can go and come home with an apple and inside of it, and this is too bad, but it has happened. We've all read it, that there's needles and razor blades in that. Somebody wanted evil to happen. That's what this person is wanting, because that's what exactly what Satan wants for every one of us, is to steal, kill, and to destroy. You don't have to be around but the last 30 or 40 years and see the deterioration of our society and particularly our country. The Bible says in the last days, headed up by this system and eventually this man, this world system, they will call evil good and good evil. Look at marriage being redefined. What was it? Minnesota yesterday or today is the latest state, and they're falling and redefining what God said. Throw God out. I'm a product of the 60s. I remember early 1960s, that we used to have daily devotions. Anybody old enough to remember this? Say the Pledge of Allegiance, and we would quote the Bible and have devotions and quote the Word of God and have prayer. We asked God out of our schools. This is very important for us to understand things. In 1960, God left the schools, pretty much. The violence, we don't want God. You can't preach that. Do you know we have leaders now that will not even take their pledge of office with their hand on the Bible or recite the name of God? Hope you've been keeping up with that. But our land, our country is in deterioration because we have asked God out. You don't know what's best for us. We know what's best for us. And the line is being drawn. And what we're seeing, and I'm building up to this point, about who is restraining the final judgment of God. Let's look at this. Let me give you real quickly what I think is happening and see if you will agree. There's three views in my studies that I could find on what has happened and will happen in the end times. The first one is called triumphalism. And there is a group of people, and sincere, but they believe that the church will eventually take over everything. The monetary system, the political systems, and then once that happens, then Jesus will come back. But the church will do it all. Be very careful of systems that teach. Did you ever notice throughout world history when the church is in charge of political systems, there's more corruption and evil than anything, i.e. the Crusades? But that is what this system teaches, that the church will eventually take over everything. And they'll quote the scripture that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Well, I know that that's in there. I had the Lord read that scripture to me one time. I quoted it. You know, the wealth of the sinner. I'd see people go by, you know, I'd have people in church. They come, said, I drove by that sinner's house the other day and said, he's got that big new boat. Said, he's out there every Sunday on the lake with that big new boat. And I'm going to church. I just went by and I claimed that boat because the Bible says the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Yeah. The The Lord quoted that to me one day. He said, the wealth of the sinner is his soul, not his boat or his car or his money. And it's laid up for the people who will get in right alignment with me. Amen. How many of you know the wealth is in people and their soul? Somebody say amen if you believe that. Number two, the second one is the defeatist attitude. The defeatist position is this, that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Just let it get worse. Don't do anything. Don't pray. Don't even get involved in politics. Don't get involved in trying to change anything. Just let it deteriorate. And as soon as it gets to that deterioration, Jesus is coming and getting us. Other words, the triumphalism says everything's going to get better in the church, and it's going to take its authority and dominate. And then the defeatist says, we can't do anything. It's going to hell in a handbasket, and we need to expedite that so Jesus will come back. And that leads us to the third one, and it's my position, and you might as well say amen, it's going to be the right one. Look at these two streams, two rivers. And I believe that what we're seeing in this day and time, and we'll see before Jesus comes, is that these two rivers will see the dam bust. I think we're starting to see the leakage in the dam right now. What's going to happen, Pastor Terry? The church is going to get stronger. It's going to get more powerful in intercessory prayer. We're going to wage war. And we are, the Bible says that Satan knows he has but a short time, and he has come down with great wrath. But I'm going to tell you, when sin abounds, what's going to happen? Grace will, say it, much more abound. Hallelujah. And I tell you, I believe the church is going to get stronger. I believe hell is going to unleash everything that it can. We're seeing the rise of evil in our day and time. And I believe the dam is getting about ready to bust. And when it busts, Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. But what is happening in the meantime, and I want to get to this real quickly, it says that can't happen because there is a restrainer that is happening. Who, what is restraining? Four different views. One view is the restrainer is the Jews themselves, the nation of Israel. This was written back in Roman times, Rome, and they believed that it was the nation of Israel because the Jewish people, because they're the only ones that even made a stand for God. But I don't believe that that's true. The second, listen to this, if you can believe it, in my studies I found this out. The restrainer, some people believe that it's Satan himself. That he's restraining himself, yes. He's come down, knows he has but a short time, so he's restraining. I don't buy that one either, but that is a view, okay? And then here's one that's pretty popular, is that it's the church is restraining the Antichrist from doing what he's going to do. Well, I believe it's none other than Father God. I think that we as church, being salt and light, has something to do with it. But in the ultimate end, let me tell you what is happening, is that God is restraining his hand of judgment until the maximum amount of souls can be brought into the kingdom of God. It's going to get worse and worse in the world. But in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, in those who trust him, I believe there's going to be more challenges, because I'm going to tell you, the devil knows he has but a short time. He is going to unleash all hell. He has already done that, coming with the incarnation of the own literal son of hell. But I believe that it is Father God. James chapter 5. This is where I believe that he's talking about here is the Father that is restraining. This is the hand of God. I want to see if you'll agree with me on this. How many of you know This is what I believe. That the hand of God, that when God judges, he doesn't bring his hand down to smash people to smithereens. The judgment of God hit Wichita Falls, Texas, so God sent the tornado. God's judgment happens when he lifts his hand. The word bless means to put your hand on. The word curse means to lift the hand. You can have God's hand in anything you want, or he'll lift it. It's your choice. Your eternal soul. God, I want your way of salvation. God will put his hand on you. Amen? It's a protective hand. It's an eternal hand, and it's there. I believe the hand of God has been on America for a number of years because we had founders that asked for it. We have leaders now that said, we don't need God. We don't need the Word of God. Get prayer out. Quit using the name of God. Quit using the name of Jesus. We'll write our own laws. Notice the mystery of lawlessness. I'm not under any law. That's iniquity. It's anarchy. I will not submit to. And that's what Daniel says about the Antichrist. He will rewrite the laws that suits him. Now, I say this with a broken heart because you cut me open. I bleed red, white, and blue. But I believe the last 30 or 40 years, we're seeing God lift his hand off this nation. And I do believe that the church is a preserving factor and our prayers are working more than ever before. But the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Curse. That's what's going to happen in the vile judgments. That people will say, and you read it in Revelation, they mock God. 2 Peter 3:3 says that there will come scoffers in the end time. Where is the promise of his coming? You hear Hollywood celebrities saying, I wish the rapture would happen so these Christians could get out of here. You know, mocking it. And there was a time that people were God-fearing, whether they was Christian or born again, they feared God. It's what's happening is mocking God. And when the Bible says in what happens in the end times and really when the wrath of God is poured out, and I believe that the church is caught up and will be with Jesus, that there would be so much devastation. It says that 1/3 of the people will be killed. Listen to this. It says that every island will be moved out of its place because of a great earthquake. Just real quickly, the sixth seal, the seventh trumpet, which is the last trumpet, correct?
Yes.
What's going to happen at the last trump? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. At the last trump, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, are going to be caught up and will be with the Lord forever. Listen to what the Greek says in the book of Revelation. See, the chart preachers say that the seventh trumpet is not the last trumpet because the rapture happens in chapter 4. But the trumpets are blowed past chapter 4. But at and this is what the Greek says, in the days of the sounding of the last trumpet. When the last note of the last song of the last trumpet sounds, we're out of here. I believe that we're in the days of the sounding of the last trumpet. And when that last note is hit, the Father's going to say, go get your bride. And he's going to come and get us, hallelujah. Now get ready, Somebody says, well, I can't wait to get to heaven. Don't, you're not going to stay too long. Stay packed because we're coming right back. I got to close. Got 10 minutes, 9 minutes. Look at this. Verse 8. And when the lawlessness one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, and the coming of the lawlessness one is according to the working of all power, signs, and wonders and deception. What's going to happen? The sixth seal. At the end of the sixth seal, the seventh trumpet and the seventh vial all have a common denominator. It says, and there was a great earthquake. I believe it's the same earthquake. I believe what's going to happen, and again, this is my speculation. We don't know because it hasn't happened yet. But I believe a great asteroid or comet is going to hit planet Earth about simultaneous with the rapture of the church. What else would cause one-third of the people to die? What kind of contact would be so strong that every island, every mountain will be moved out of its place? Write in your notes, Revelation 16, 17, and 18 tells you what's going to happen in the wrath of God. And again, the church will exit before God's wrath. It says commercial Babylon, listen to this, will fall in 1 hour. How many of you know that the Antichrist is going to give an order, Revelation, nobody can buy or sell without a mark? Am I going to take that mark? Am I going to get the mark if the Antichrist is going to be here? Not if you stay close to Jesus. How do I avoid counterfeits? Let me get back to that, but let me close. The Bible says that Jesus, what's going to happen? There's going to be some kind of a cataclysmic explosion, an asteroid. How many of you heard about the asteroid hitting? I've done some research. I wished I had time to go into it. We're getting bullet burns from asteroids right now. We're going through space. One that hit in Russia was equal to like 5 million atomic bombs going off. Just one in Russia in the early 1900s. You can read about it. You can study about it. But we're caught up with the Lord. This is why I don't believe that the tribulation period, if it's what you want to call it, but the days of God's wrath is going to be 7 years. Because we're going to be with Jesus. I believe the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to happen. Rewards are going to be passed out. And there's going to be a short time of devastation on this earth. It says that people will look, listen to this, and they will say, hide us from the face of the wrath of the Lamb. Hide us. We don't even want to see God. They won't cry out to God. Will anybody be saved into this period? Don't know, but it indicates that everybody's heart is so hard towards God that they still curse him after all of this. And what is going to happen is that there's coming a new heaven, heavens, and a new earth. And Jesus is coming back, and then reconstruction earth begins in what is called the millennium. And it says that all of the nations are going to flow into a little town called Jerusalem in Israel, that it's all going to flow back there. But God is going to destroy this person and his system with one mighty blow. The great commercial systems of the world says the merchants and those who own the great ships, they're going to weep and wail. Why? Because their money fell in 1 hour. Is that a literal hour? I don't know, but it just means a short time. Vegetation, trees, third of the earth will be devastated. People will be killed, and it will happen. Why? Because God will say, enough, and he'll lift his hand, and people who don't want God, they'll get it. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of God, who should be saved. God is saying to the church, to you and I, get as many people in as you can. Because I'm withholding my judgment. I'm going to hold it as long as I can. Oh, hallelujah. How do I keep from being deceived? And I close with this real quickly. Number one, stay in the Word of God. Grow. Stay in the Word. Love truth. You don't have to understand it. Let me just give you an illustration how simple this is. My wife is a great cook. First year we was married, I gained 20 pounds. Been gaining ever since. She's a great cook. She has some great dishes that I love. And we have great, you know, a few times that we get here last some years to even have a meal at home. I really look forward to those times. She'll cook up something. I'll just thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy it. You know what? I don't have to know all of the recipe. All I have to do is just eat. And enjoy. Amen. It's the same way with the Word of God. You don't have to understand everything, but just be a lover of truth. What about counterfeits? What about lying signs and wonders? That tells you right there, there's signs, there's real signs and wonders. I'm going to talk about it Sunday. Signs. You don't follow signs. Signs are to follow you. But what about signs? What about the counterfeit? Some of you know that one of my hobbies for a number of years was watches. I just loved watches and studying about them. Your pastor ends up with my best watches, so pray for him. And somehow he entered. But I found out when I started doing it that there's counterfeits. You know, I never found a counterfeit Timex watch. There's a whole lot of Rolexes and Omegas. They're counterfeit. And you can study just like people do counterfeit money. I used to think that that's what people did, you know, in our system is that when they trained them in the treasury, whatever, to in the banks to look for counterfeit money, that they'd show them all these counterfeit bills. No. They stick them in room for days upon days upon days, looking at the real money, counting it, looking at the real thing. And all of a sudden, one time, they'll put in a counterfeit. And they have been with the real so long, when that counterfeit shows up, whew, that's a counterfeit, get it right out of here. Same thing with any, stay with Jesus, the real thing, and I'm going to tell you, if the counterfeit shows up, you're going to be ready. Can somebody say amen? That's the answer. That's that spirit. That's a lying spirit. That's a deceptive spirit. And I ain't falling for it. Don't get away from the body of Christ. Stay close in. Stay corrected. Amen. Glory to God. Did you receive anything tonight? Well, if you did, give the Lord a hand. And your pastor, Pastor Gary. Come on, Brother Gary. Praise the Lord.